ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're continuing our reading from the second chapter of the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Title is Hiranyakashipu, the King of Demons, right? It's not showing on my screen here, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Today's text is 10, yes? Tavan Yata Bhuvam Yuyam Brahma Kshatra Sameditam Sudayadvam Tapoyagya Swadhyaya Vrata Dhaninaha Tavadyata Bhuvang Yuyam Brahmachatra Sameditam Sudayadvang Tapo Yagya Swadhyaya Vrata Dhaninaha Tavadyata Bhuvang Yuyam Brahmachatra Sameditam Sudayadvang Tapo Yagya Swadhyaya Vratadhaninaha Tavadyata Bhuvang Yuyam Brahmachatra Sameditam Sudayadvang Tapo Yagya Swadhyaya Vratadhaninaha. Please chant. Tavadyata Bhuvang Yuyam Brahmachatra Sameditam Sudayadvang Tapo Yagya Swadhyaya Vratadhaninaha. Brahmachatra Samedita. Swadhyaya Vratada. Tavadyata Bhuvang Yuyam. Brahmachatra Samedita. Sudaya tam tapo yagya. Vaishnavis. Anyone else? It's funny, in the early days, right in this very room, we used to chant at least 20 times. But Srila Prabhupada was giving class, and his classes were like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You hear on Sundays we play. Most of the classes are in the 20 to 25 minute range. Nowadays we chant 4 or 5 times, and then the speaker speaks for an hour. Go figure. Okay, synonyms, tabat, as long as, and then in parentheses, I am engaged in a matter of killing Vishnu. Yata, go, bhuvam, to the planet Earth. Yuyam, all of you, Brahmachatra, of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, Sameditam, made prosperous by the activities, in parentheses, Brahminical culture and Vedic government, Surayadvam, just destroy, Tapaha, the performers of austerities, Yajna, sacrifices, Swadhyaya, study of Vedic knowledge, Vrata, the regulative vows, Daninaha, and those giving charity. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. While I am engaged in the business of killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the planet Earth, which is flourishing due to Brahminical culture and a Kshatriya government. These people engage in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regulative vows, and charity. Destroy all the people thus engaged. This is Hiranyakashipu speaking. Please repeat. While I am engaged in the business of killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the Earth planet, which is flourishing due to Brahminical culture and a Kshatriya government. These people engage in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regulative vows, and charity. Destroy all the people thus engaged. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Hiranyakashipu's main purpose was to disturb the demigods. He planned first to kill Lord Vishnu so that with Lord Vishnu's death, the demigods would automatically weaken and die. Another of his plans was to disturb the residents of the planet Earth. The peace and prosperity of the residents of Earth and all the other planets were maintained by the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvarnamaya Shishtam, Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. On all the planets, there are different types of residents, but the Lord recommends, referring especially to the planet Earth, which is inhabited by human beings, that society be divided into four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Before the advent of Lord Krishna on this earth, it is understood that the earth was managed by the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The duty of the Brahmanas is to cultivate Shama, peacefulness, Dhamma, self-control, Titiksha, tolerance, Satyam, truthfulness, Shaucham, cleanliness, and Arjavam, simplicity. And then to advise the Kshatriya kings how to rule the country or planet. Following the instructions of the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas would engage the populace in austerity, sacrifices, Vedic study, and adherence to the rules and regulations established by Vedic principles. They should also arrange for charity to be given to the Brahmanas, sannyasis, and temples. This is the godly arrangement of Brahminical culture. People are inclined to offer yajna because unless sacrifices are offered, there will be insufficient rain, yajna bhavati parjanya, which will hamper agricultural activities, parjanyat anasambhavaha. By introducing Brahminical culture, therefore, a Kshatriya government should engage people in performing yajna, studying the Vedas, and giving charity. Thus the people will receive their necessities for life very easily, and there will be no disturbances in society. In this regard, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 12, Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva dasyante yoga bhavitaha tair dattan apadayabhyo yo bhungte stena evasaha, which means, in charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, supply all necessities to man, but he who enjoys these gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. So Prabhupada continues his purport. The demigods are authorized supplying agents who act on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Therefore, they must be satisfied by the performance of prescribed yajnas. In the Vedas, there are different kinds of yajnas prescribed for different kinds of demigods, but all are ultimately offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one who cannot understand what the Personality of Godhead is, sacrifice to the demigods is recommended. According to the different material qualities of the persons concerned, different types of yogas are recommended in the Vedas. Worship of different demigods is also on the same basis, namely, according to different qualities. Advaita Prabhu, I think you'll be a little happier upstairs. You have more room to run around and relax, if you don't mind. Thank you. For example, the meat eaters are recommended to worship the goddess Kali, the ghastly form of material nature. And before the goddess, the sacrifice of animals is recommended. But for those in a mode of goodness, the transcendental worship of Vishnu is recommended. Ultimately, all yogis are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position. For ordinary men, at least 5 yogas known as Panchamaha Yogya are necessary. One should know, however, that all the necessities of life that human society requires are supplied by the demigod agents of the Lord. No one can manufacture anything. Very important to remember this. No one can manufacture anything. Consider, for example, all the eatables of human society. These eatables include grains, fruits, vegetables, milk, and sugar for persons in the mode of goodness, and also eatables for the non-vegetarians such as meats, none of which can be manufactured by men. Then again, take for example, heat, light, water, and air, which are also necessities of life. None of them can be manufactured by human society. Without the Supreme Lord, there can be no profuse sunlight, moonlight, rainfall, or breeze, without which no one can live. Obviously, our life is dependent on supplies from the Lord. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so many raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese, and so many essentials, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord, with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely liberation from the material struggle for existence. This is one of those super sentences that you find in Prabhupada's book sometimes. This aim of life is attained by performance of yogas. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in material existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves and therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature. A society of thieves can never be happy, for they have no aim in life. The gross materialist thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification. Nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yogas. Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of yoga, namely the Sankirtan yoga, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness. Hiranyakashipu planned to kill the inhabitants of earth so that yoga would stop and the demigods being disturbed would die automatically when Lord Vishnu, the Yogeshwara, was killed. These were the demoniac plans of Hiranyakashipu, who was expert in such activities. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavani Paschachadeshtarne Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtang Sapatam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Sopanantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shutapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raghunathanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvatamsa Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Pika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshuri Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopaturbya Shakripa Sindhu Evacha Patitanang Pabane Pyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Misuse of intelligence. This is Hiranyakashipu speaking. Obviously there is some material intelligence there, even some knowledge of Vedic scriptures. But this is why it is essential to learn Vedic knowledge from a guide. Because if one does not have a proper guide, Even while studying the Vedas, one can come to these kinds of materialistic conclusions. The biggest mistake he's making is that he's thinking that Lord Vishnu is fallible, that he can kill Lord Vishnu. Even an ordinary person should understand that there's no meaning to God if God is fallible, if God is mortal. There's no meaning. You can't. So then what is the difference between us and God? So Hiranyakashipu, although he's a very powerful individual, highly educated, knowledgeable, still, because he's missing this essential point, then his whole existence will unravel ultimately because of this. In other words, if we don't give God his due, then we will definitely fall. We will definitely suffer for that. And this is the reason why we remain here. Because lifetime after lifetime, we don't give God his due. We think everything is due to me, first and foremost. And then, as I deem, I will give to my friends and followers and glorifiers and like that. I will distribute my charity. But Prabhupada is pointing out here, clearly in this purport, and we should all notice, that no one can manufacture anything. Everything that we need, and even the things that we don't really need, they're all coming and they're all being given by Krishna. But first point was the things that we really need, like edibles, eatables. We can't survive more than a day or two without eating. On Janmasthami, when we all fast until midnight, you can hear the stomach acid growling in everybody. It's hard to go even one day without eating, what to speak of many days. So, we're all dependent on food. That's the first essential thing. You know, we're walking around very proud, head in the sky, but without food, the head comes down real quickly. So where's that food coming from? This is the first question in human life. Where is that food coming from? We should not be as foolish as those Russian peasants. You've heard the story many times, some of you, or most of you maybe, but it's worth meditating on. Prabhupada told that story for a reason. That the foolish Russian peasants, when the Communist Party was establishing itself, and the people still had some sentiment towards God, they would go to some village, they would round them up, and say, "You all still believe in God? Yes, sir? Okay, there's your church. Now you go into the church and pray to God for bread." And then it would lock them in the church for some time. And then they would open the door and let them out and say, "Did you pray to your God for bread?" "Yes, sir." "So where is the bread?" "We don't see any bread." "Where is the bread?" "You pray to God for bread. Where is the bread?" And then they would tell the peasants, "Now you ask us for bread." "Okay, come in, sir. Please give us some bread." They would whistle, the trucks would come over and unload bread, and peasants would be impressed. "Oh, our communist brothers are feeding us." So Prabhupada said, just see how the rascal mentality, they're so foolish. They should ask them, "Where did you get the bread from? Where did you get the bread from?" That bread is supplied by God. That grain is growing from seeds supplied by God. The rain that makes the grain grow and the sun that makes the grain grow, that's supplied by God. It's not provided by the Communist Party. Grain especially. You see how grains grow. Grain they have to grow in sunny regions. And the very nature of grains is that they absorb sunlight like anything. That's why they normally say, you don't eat freshly harvested grain. They store them in silos for some time so that it loses a lot of that heat. Because if you eat, it's too much heat for the body. So the grain needs sun. Where is that sun coming from? The Communist Party didn't provide that. So Prabhupada said, that shows that there are no brahmanas over there. He said, a brahmana would immediately think like this. Where did you get this grain from? Where did you get the bread from? So we, even if we're not on the highest brahminical platform, we should at least understand these basic points. They're being repeated so that they're drilled into our consciousness. Because if we don't give God his due, if we don't give God his due respect based on his position, nityo nityanam, chaitana chaitananam, eko bahunam yovidadati kaman. We're all conscious beings, but amongst us there's one supremely conscious being. What is the difference? I'm aware of the pains and pleasures, physical and mental, in my life, and you're aware of yours. We may try to share with each other, but you can't really know somebody else's pains, and you can't. But God knows everybody's pains and pleasures simultaneously. He knows everything that you're going through. So that's the distinction between the supreme conscious being and the unlimited individual conscious beings. We are conscious of our own existence, primarily. By our senses, we are somewhat conscious of others. But we're sitting here in Los Angeles. We don't know for sure what somebody in Nairobi, Kenya is going through right now. Or somebody downtown London. Our consciousness is limited, but Krishna knows. And we all know Krishna knows. That's why, intrinsically, we know wherever we are, we can pray to God. Whether I'm on the shore of the ocean, or I'm on top of a mountain, or I'm in Nairobi, London, LA, it doesn't matter. I can pray to God, and I'm confident that God hears me. So then we should let that sink in. That I may not be God conscious, but God is Krishna Kumara conscious. Right? God is Amala Bhakta conscious. God is Devira Bhakta conscious. He's conscious of every one of us. We may not be God conscious. We may not be Krishna conscious, but He's conscious of us. And this is the real beginning of becoming God conscious. When you let it sink in that God is conscious of you, me, all of us, at every single moment, then you have to kind of get your act together. It's sort of like, you know, we all know when we go shopping, there's security cameras all over the place. Now, for most of us who are honest citizens, it doesn't matter. We don't care. We're not there to steal. But the criminals, the ones who are a little intelligent, they're aware of that. So they have to figure out some way to do what they want to do, which is steal without getting caught on the security camera. Just see the misuse of intelligence. And then those criminals who are really stupid, they don't even care. They go steal and they get caught in a few minutes. So we should at least come to the point of being the intelligent criminals where we're aware that we're being watched at every moment. Now, if I, in spite of that, I want to figure out some way to do something sinful, to steal God's property without giving it back to God, or at least the demigods, then at least it's a little step up. Don't be such an ignorant criminal that we don't even realize that everything we do is being watched. That's the point. Every single thought we have is being monitored. This story I've told several times, it always impressed me. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and some devotees had done some nonsense in the Krishna Balaram temple. So when Prabhupada was giving class, excuse me. You know, the deities in Vrindavan are Radhe Shamasundar. So he pointed to Shamasundar. And he said, you see Krishna is holding a flute. These two fingers are up like this. And you can see. Dwarkadish is the same way. Two fingers are up. He said, these two fingers can see what you're thinking. So we should always remember that. Krishna's two fingers, Krishna doesn't need his eyes to see what we're doing and thinking. His two fingers can see what we're thinking, what to speak of what we're doing. So again, this is the beginning of real God consciousness. To be conscious that God is conscious of you. And then it makes you, gives you some impetus to get your act together. Otherwise, if you lose that awareness, that Krishna is aware of us at every moment, then we think we have leeway to act in a nonsense fashion. So Hiranyakashipu, in spite of his knowledge of the Vedas, in spite of his great physical strength, he's given himself to the impossible task of killing Lord Vishnu. Cannot be done. So he's wasting his time. We know it's pastime. We know the Leela. He's acting perfectly because he's a devotee of the Lord and he's playing the role perfectly of really, really hating Krishna so that Krishna can come and have his fight that he desires to have. But from our point of view, we should wonder, or some people, many people wonder, that if God is the source of everything, then is he also the source of this mentality that Hiranyakashipu is exhibiting of wanting to kill God, of being so angry towards God and being so angry even towards innocent brahmanas? He's sending his henchmen down to earth to kill the brahmanas, kill the people who are engaged in sacrifice and charity. And could God be the source of that mentality? Could God create somebody so evil that they want to do such evil activities? What do you think? Is God the source of Hiranyakashipu's mentality? What does Krishna say? Hmm. Alright, so, but what does Krishna say? Krishna says, Ye chaiva sattaka bhava rajasas tamasas. He says, all states of being, be they of goodness, passion, or ignorance, are coming from me. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, I am the source of all these mentalities. But why, then we would ask, why would Krishna give someone this kind of mentality? Krishna is fulfilling our desire. This is the point. We turn away from God, or in the Hiranyakashipu's case, fell from directly to engage in this pastime. And we actually cultivate this kind of mentality. We actually cultivate this kind of mentality by not following the prescribed path for getting out of here, for purification, for purifying our existence and going back to Godhead. Then we actually want this kind of mentality, because there are only two ways you can go, either up or down. There's no stasis. You can't stay in the same place practically in this world. You're either progressing or you're regressing. You can't stay in one place. So if we don't make a conscious effort to make progress, then we will regress. And then regressing means falling into the modes of material nature and being driven by these different mentalities. We know there are three modes. The mode of goodness. Mode of goodness. A mode of goodness person would not think like this. Mode of goodness means you're aware. You're aware, even if you're not fully aware of the Supreme, then you know there must be some, it makes sense, there must be some ultimate source of everything. You can't have an infinite regression of cause and effect. There has to be an ultimate source of everything. So what is the nature of that source? This is the mode of goodness person. They think, and they observe, they come to conclusions that make them want to make progress in life. But if you don't take shelter of the mode of goodness at least, then the mode of passion is waiting to grab you. Okay, you want to enjoy. Let's go for it. Let's work hard, make money, and make plans, and make a big festival here and a big concert there. Of course, it's very beneficial for the Hare Krishnas to come along and distribute books, but this is the mode of passion. Hey, we want to have fun. Party! Okay, so let's make a big party out in the desert, and we'll have all the bands come, and so many things. I mean, this is the mode of passion. Right? And if you're not even attracted to that, then the mode of ignorance is there. Hey, man, why should I run around and make all this effort? Just give me a... Let me get high and, you know, enjoy life. Sleep as much as I want. And that's the mode of ignorance. So Krishna creates these mentalities for us. It's not that he's making it to give people pain. We're desiring to have these mentalities and we give each other pain. So Krishna's simply fulfilling our desires. Knowing full well, because he knows, he's God, that we're all eternal beings, and therefore ultimately, you know, like Wile E. Coyote, we dust ourselves off and get up again and start chasing the roadrunner one more time. So Krishna knows there's no ultimate harm to the soul. The soul cannot be harmed, cannot be burned, cannot be withered by the wind, cannot be, you know, wet by water. So Krishna knows that. So Krishna allows us to come here and play our charades, develop all these mentalities, sometimes sinking to the very lowest mentality of wanting to kill the brahmanas. Can you imagine? Innocent brahmanas, people engage in sacrifice and charity, and somebody wants to kill them. This is the demoniac mentality. Kamsa also, when he heard that Krishna had been born, he actually sent his demoniac friends out to kill all the children that had been born in the last 10 days. Can you imagine that? Here he's supposed to be a leader, a king. And his activity, his edict, is go out and kill all the kids that have been born in the last 10 days. Oh my God. Where is that mentality coming from? Krishna gives that mentality because this is what we want. We want to think that we can kill God. We want to think that we can destroy, you know, all the innocent creatures for our political purpose, for our sense gratification. So, of course, Hiranyakashipu will get his comeuppance. And all of this is being generated, this anger and this hellish mentality of wanting to kill God and kill the brahmanas, just because he's grieving over the death of his brother, Hiranyaksha. Who deserved to die? He deserved to die. What did he do? He threw the earth planet out of its orbit by taking all the gold away from, and as Hiranyakashipu himself said, my brother was fond of drinking blood. Yeah, he deserved to die. So, the lesson to us there is that when we're put into these naturally grievous conditions like a death of a relative or anything that gives us some pain, we should take that is impetus to take shelter of Krishna. Not to hate Krishna, not to hate God, not to want to hurt others because I'm going through a painful situation and I want to pass that on to somebody else. That's the general envious materialistic mentality. I'm feeling pain, economically, physically, mentally, otherwise, relationship-wise, therefore I want to go out and give somebody pain. Get drunk and, you know, get my shotgun and kill somebody. Or at least shoot down some cactus. I told that story a couple of times. This friend of mine in New York, his cousin used to live in Arizona. And his pleasure in life was to get drunk and take a shotgun and shoot down the saguaro cactus. You've been through the desert, you know. When they get to be like 15, 16 feet tall, they're about 300 years old, 400 years old. And that was his pleasure, shooting down the biggest ones. So one Friday, with the same routine, he got drunk, went out with the shotgun, pulled the trigger, and the thing fell forward and killed him. True story. That's called instant karma. So we shouldn't be like that. You know, when we're feeling upset or down or aggrieved, and so we take it out on somebody else, even some innocent creature like a plant. The devotee mentality is like Arjuna did. And I'll wrap up with this. In the 15th chapter of the first canto, you know, when Krishna went back to Godhead and his devotees led by Yudhisthira and Arjuna were missing him, feeling deep separation. So Arjuna spoke this very nice verse, which is indicative to us of what devotees do when they're feeling upset. Deisha kalarta yuktani rittapo pashamani sat. Haranti smartas chittam govindabhi tani me. So he said, rittapa, he's feeling the burning of the heart. Now we feel burning of the heart again because of envy and lust and anger. The devotees are not feeling burning of the heart for that reason. Their heart is burning with separation from Krishna. But in any case, whatever is making your heart burn, he said, Desha kalarta yukta. Desha means place. Kala means time. In any place, any time, the real solution for solving the burning of the heart is to take shelter of Krishna's words. So Krishna had spoken Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in the battlefield. And after Krishna left, he took shelter of Krishna's words, meaning Bhagavad Gita. So we have Bhagavad Gita. Whenever you feel the heart burning for whatever reason, pick up the Gita. It works for me all the time. Something is happening in life, pinching. I just pick it up, and whatever page it opens on, I just read. And inevitably, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna is saying something that is directly related to what I'm going through. I've experienced that so many times. So I highly recommend it. Just pick up one of Prabhupada's books, open it anywhere, and just start reading. And you'll find, immediately, your heart starts to feel some soothing, balm-like experience. Okay, we can stop there. Any questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grantarachim and Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.